Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Louisiana is no longer immune from the deaths across the country caused by vaping. The science around vaping continues to reveal itself concerning details relative to health challenges. And do you vape? And if so, you may want to research the products and determine for yourself whether you are willing to assume the risk. Dr. Joe Cantor, Assistant State Medical Director, joins us to discuss the concerns about vaping products available today. Dr. Cantor, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Newell. Good morning. It's good to be here.
This seems to be an imminent threat that we are dealing with across this country. Over 200,000 confirmed cases of lung injuries and about 30, I think, deaths or so. Maybe I may have that number wrong. I apologize. But a number of deaths across the country as well. What is really the root cause of this situation?
Yeah, it's very unclear. You know, deaths are 2,000 is the number for national cases right now. Still very concerning, 42 deaths nationwide. And as you mentioned yesterday, the Department of Health confirmed we unfortunately had our first death in Louisiana. The challenge is, while there's some very strong suspects and leading theories, the experts at the CDC are not ready to say exactly what is causing this outbreak. They believe it's likely to be some type of adulterant that's added to vaping substances, perhaps to dilute it down. Vitamin E acetate has been mentioned many times, and there's strong evidence pointing to that, but not conclusive evidence. So the jury is still out on what exactly is causing it.
Have we determined whether or not the substances at the root of this problem is actually aftermarket substances as opposed to those that are produced by the leading vaping product manufacturers?
That is the suspicion. The suspicion is that a large driver for this is substances being produced on the black market and then being diluted down. The challenge is, in Louisiana, as well as most every other state that is reporting outbreak, people have gotten sick from vaping illicit deity, from vaping nicotine bought in legitimate stores, and vaping both. So it's difficult to narrow it down. And one other thing that is worth pointing out, people who buy vape cartridges in legitimate stores would expect that testing those substances to verify that it is what the package says it is, but that's actually not happening that much. The FDA has delayed their regulation of vaping nicotine cartridges and hasn't yet done that. So the regulatory framework is not yet in place the way that many consumers might expect.
This was a similar occurrence when you think back to the synthetic marijuana challenges that we were having across this country. The state of Louisiana took a very proactive approach in dealing with that and prohibiting substances through the regulatory scheme. Is that something that's up for consideration relative to these vaping products as well?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the other challenges of this, there's really two issues going on at the same time, and they get confused. There's an outbreak of lung-associated injuries going across the state and the country. That's what we're really talking about here, you know, with vaping. We don't know exactly what's causing it, although we have some suspects. Separate from that, but connected, is a dramatic rise in the rates of teen vaping. Many, many teens are being turned on to nicotine addiction through vaping. It threatens to eliminate the gains that we've seen in teen smoking rates, one of the rare public health victories over the past couple decades. And that's another issue. Now, you've heard both the governor and the secretary of health say that they are highly concerned about that trend. We were following the federal lead on this. Up until about a week ago, it was looking like the Trump administration was perhaps going to ban flavored e-cigarettes. Now there's some backtracking on that, but we're following this very closely and there are discussions ongoing.
So when we go back to vitamin E acetate, when we make the and draw the analogies to what went on with synthetic marijuana, what they recognized there is that the utilization of acetate, in fact, they were just taking nail polish remover and spraying it on these on this synthetic marijuana substance. What is vitamin E acetate?
You know, it's a substance that's highly viscous, so it adds body to fluids, makes it more gooey and sticky, and it seems to mirror the properties of a lot of the vaping fluid. So the theory is that a lot of perhaps THC vaping fluid that's produced on the black market is being diluted down with this vitamin E acetate so that they can make more product cheaper. The people that were doing that obviously had no clue that this could be so harmful. Last week, the CDC announced the results of a study. They looked at lung tissue from 29 people across the country who had vaping-associated lung illness, and all of those contained traces of vitamin E acetate. So it looks like it can be very damaging to lung tissue, certainly in ways that people that were introducing this substance had no intention. Bottom line is, people really don't know what is in the substance that they're vaping. There's no way to know what's in there, and people have to be very cautious about that.
And is it fair to say that because of the lack of testing over the years as it relates to THC in and of itself, obviously there's little or no testing of these combinations or these blends of this THC oil with all of this other material that we're talking about. So a lot of the folks that present themselves at the ER, the physicians really don't even know what they're dealing with, which was the same circumstances presented with synthetic marijuana.
Yeah, you know, the science is moving very quickly on it, and there's ongoing case studies. For example, whenever a new case comes to our attention in Louisiana, we loop very closely with the patient and the family to find out what they were vaping and if it's possible to collect a sample of that and give that to the CDC for further testing. We do that. You know, certainly for people that buy vape products on the black market, you have no idea what's in there. But even for people that buy vape products in stores, again, this industry is not regulated to the degree that people might expect it to be.
So obviously, if it's not going through the FDA approval, you really don't know what the ultimate effects are. And every time we do the workaround, I guess, is it fair to say that we could expect to have issues and problems because we're really dealing with the unknown?
That's the bottom line. We're dealing with the unknown, and we're dealing with something that's relatively new. And there's a lot of uncertainty with that.
So what should we expect from the state level? I mean, I know you guys are all over this. Is there enough exigency here where we step out in front of this issue and not wait on the federal government? There's been a number of reports. I think you were very kind in your representation of it. There have been some reports that have said that the administration may walk back from this for quite a while and until after the election, possibly.
Yeah, you know, this is going to be a conversation that will be had over the coming weeks or months. And again, both the governor and the secretary of health have said very clearly that the rise in teen vaping is highly concerning to them. That's how we feel in the Department of Health.
Okay. Well, we're going to be checking back with you, Dr. Joe Cantor. We appreciate the information. And I guess the best advice to everyone is be increasingly cynical and skeptical of these products that are made available, and don't risk yourself and your health for the sake of trying something new.
Absolutely. If you're able to not vape, the best and safest thing is to do that. And the other thing that's worth mentioning, Noel, is that there is help available for people that want to quit and want assistance. The 100 Now is a great resource. It's 24 hours, and it's free. So anyone that wants help to quit should call that line.
Can you say that again? Because we kind of got a bad connection and we lost you for a second.
Absolutely. The 24-hour quit line is 1-800-QUIT-NOW. It's free for anyone in Louisiana to use. And there's good assistance available for people who want help quitting nicotine addiction.
All righty, Dr. Joe Cantor, thank you so much for your time. We truly appreciate it.
Thank you, Sheriff.
That's Dr. Joe Cantor, Assistant State Medical Director for the state of Louisiana. We want to hear from you. 260-1870 or text 870-870. Whew. Stepping all over myself this morning. Do you vape? Are you concerned? Do you think it's worth the risk? We'll be right back. Stay with us. We're back, and Heather is the president of the Louisiana Vaping Association, and she joins us online. Heather, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having us on. I was just calling about the vaping that you were just discussing.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to point out that, you know, this hysteria has the regulated products. We are vaping products that you bought, purchase in the stores are regulated by the FDA. We have had to submit ingredients listings to the FDA. They come and make regular site inspections to us, to our manufacturers. And we have gotten lumped into this lung illness where there actually has been no contaminants found in any legal products that that they have tested. All of the contaminants have been found in the black market THC products. Our products, the products that you do get in the stores are 95% safer, and that has been proven by the Royal College of Physicians, and there's a study that shows that the vapor products that you do get in the stores are 95% safer. The hysteria that we have been lumped into is, it's harmful to the public health when you have a product that has dramatically reduced the smoking rates throughout the state and throughout the nation over the past years, that can help with people's health and help improve their quality of life. And it's a shame that we are getting lumped into and scaring the public against using these safer alternatives to combustible cigarettes.
What do y'all say about some of the most recent science that says that vaping is every bit as dangerous as just smoking to your lungs?
I have not seen any science that states that. If you could, refer me to any legitimate study that has that, I'll be more than happy to look towards that. But I have not seen any. I've seen, the issues that have come up with the vitamin E acetate, which is not found in FDA-regulated products.
Yeah, and we appropriately pointed that out. When you think about, though, like Juul, who was willing to go along with President Trump's ban on flavored e-cigarettes, what does that say to the industry when the producer says that they're willing to pull those products off the shelves?
Well, Juul is only one company in an industry made up of 200,000 small businesses, and they are the only company that actually offers the concentrated high nicotine levels that the kids are attracted to, which has caused the youth epidemic. So Juul is completely separate from your vape shops that you have within your communities. They are a large company that is owned by Altria, which is a big tobacco company. They own Marlboro also. And what they sell is completely different than what you get. It's a salt-based nicotine solution that is extremely high. They offer 50 milligrams per milliliter of nicotine in their e-liquids, where what you're going to get at a vape shop, your max might be 24 milligrams per milliliter. So actually, the youth are actually attracted to that buzz that they get when they use those Juul products. Not necessarily the flavors. It's such a concentrated nicotine strength that they're getting a buzz from it, a quick high. And that's why the Juul has become so popular among the youth. So what we're actually going to try to do this legislative session is encourage our representatives to put a cap on that nicotine to actually combat youth use. If you look at the FDA's, they did a study themselves. They did a sting around the country, and they actually came out and said that your vape shop were more responsible, and there was less than a 10% rate of vape shops that kids got it from their vape shops. Most of the kids got it from convenience stores, online, and the main place that they were getting these products from were social sources, which means a friend that was of the age would go in and purchase it and give it to them.
Heather, what is the state of the law? Because I'm not familiar with the law as it relates to vaping products. Is there an age that's illegal to buy vaping products?
Yes, sir, absolutely. 18 is the age as of right now. If last year they tried to raise the age to 21, LAVA, the Louisiana Vaping Association, wanted to protect the rights of vapers, of current smokers that were 18 to 21. So we did oppose that last year.
And regular tobacco is what age?
18.
It's the same. So it's consistent.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, it is. And but they just had a new study that came out that actually pointed out that 90% of the underage youth were getting the products from social sources who were kids that were 18 years old but still in high school. So that does indicate to us, after that study came out, that we might need to raise that age a little bit to combat the youth epidemic. But the main factor is capping that nicotine strength, because there's no need to have those high nicotine strengths when you're trying to quit smoking. And that's why Juul is being so compliant, because they know what their products have done. But that's not a representation. And that's what's happening, is all these small businesses are getting lumped in with the actions of big tobacco. And now we're getting lumped in with the actions of these drug dealers that don't understand our products and are cutting these black market products with things that can hurt the public, because they don't know what they're doing.
When vaping,
so by banning it, we're just creating a larger black market instead of being responsible and really identifying the problem.
Vaping, when it first started, a lot of the product that was available was very much driven by a cottage industry. What is the status of that today?
Well, absolutely. We're the first industry that is completely 100% formed by the consumer, grew by the consumer's demand, and that's still where the industry should be. I mean, we should have reasonable regulations, and we're all for reasonable regulations to make sure our products are safe. But over-regulating a product that can benefit the health of the public, and over-regulating them to the point of banning them, is not benefiting the youth, it's not benefiting current smokers or the state.
The status of that is still the same. So, who do they turn their liquids over to be tested for the efficacy of it and the appropriate labeling in order to determine what actually and materials in it and the quantity?
So the FDA regulates all of that. So every year we have to submit listings. They come and do surprise checks on our facilities, and they will take products with them when they do those checks. I'm personally a manufacturer as well, and I've already had three surprise visits that last days. These visits aren't like they come in and are like, hi, everything's okay. They come in and literally go through your manufacturing process and sit down and watch to make sure that everything is done efficiently and effectively.
And safely. And that has been going on for how long?
Since 2016.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, so we have been regulated. Right now they're just pushing for stronger and quicker regulations, but we're regulated actually stronger, and no other industry has ever been regulated like the vaping industry. The cigarette companies don't even have to do half of the things that we do, because they're grandfathered in from the master settlement agreement. So they don't have to do any of the things that we have to do. We're regulated extremely stricter than they are.
So when I go to the FDA website, and it says here that no vaping product has been approved by the FDA for therapeutic uses or authorized for marketing by the FDA.
No, they have not been approved, but they are regulated through the FDA. The approval process is our approval process. They've actually, it's been in the court system, because they tried to move it up, and that goalpost has been moved quite a few times because of the extent of the regulation. As I said, we're regulated stricter than the cigarette industry ever was. So the cost of the regulation that they have on the vaping products reaches about $1 million per SKU, which means that each product that we have on the market, each variation of each flavoring, is subject to up to $1 million of fees associated to get that approval. So the approval is so costly that many of the small businesses can't afford it. So there has been litigation going back and forth to try to fix the cost effectiveness of the whole process, so that we do preserve our small businesses and we're not turning the entire industry over to the big tobacco companies that can afford these pricey regulations, but might not have the best interest of the public at hand. Instead, the FDA is trying to work with us to find a cost-effective way to regulate and to test all of our products and get us through that regulation and still preserve the small business aspect of the industry that it was formed, how it was formed.
Right. Because, you know, they say they're still testing vaping and vaping products to see how that, whether or not there is a correlation to respiratory illnesses and so forth. And so on. And on their website, they're basically saying that they don't approve of the products. They're just testing the chemicals because they and they make an observation here that almost every vaping liquid out there they're not all made up of the same thing. They're all unique unto themselves because it is a cottage industry.
Well, and they say that because when this industry formed, everybody, it's not that they're not different. You have your basic main ingredients that is the same and is consistent throughout all of your legal FDA regulated nicotine products. And it's for your four main ingredients: vegetable glycerin, propylene glycol, your flavoring, and your nicotine. Now, what changes, because everyone is changing this, because it's like recipes. So every flavoring has different levels of different flavorings, and all of them are different because that all of those flavors that were created in the industry were consumer driven. So consumers would come in and say, oh, can I want a strawberry with banana, or I want this or this. So all of those flavors were consumer driven. So they all contain different, recipes, but the base ingredients of all of them are consistent across the board. So they are all different in small ways, because those flavorings have different levels depending on which company you're buying it from, but the base ingredients are 100% the same all the way across for your legal products.
Okay, well, obviously you represent the industry. You have your perspective, because it just seems to me that when we make the representation that the FDA is testing this stuff, that's not really what's going on. They're testing this stuff to see what is actually in there, to see if there's a known substance that they know to be harmful to humans, because most of these substances have not been tested.
Propylene glycol is actually what you use in breathing treatment. So that is
right. But that is only one ingredient, and because it's a cottage industry, and there's no QAQC as to the what is in, that means quality assurance, quality control, as to what is actually in the substance, and utilization of mechanization to measure this and to make sure that the strength and the efficacy of it is the same. That's what they're saying is not regulated, and that's what is regulated as it relates to cigarettes. So to say that y'all are more regulated than cigarettes, that's not necessarily true.
Oh, it absolutely is true. It absolutely is. And the FDA will tell you that, because they cannot regulate a lot of the things that they would like to with cigarettes because of the master settlement agreement and because they have been grandfathered in. So the cigarette companies have never had to go through a pre-market tobacco application, which is actually what we have to do to have our products on the market, is go through a PMTA, a pre-market tobacco application. And it is a tremendously more strenuous than what the cigarette companies had to do to regulate their products.
Yeah, but that's a preliminary a perfunctory application that's given in, that's put in as it relates to entering the market. They're there already. But to say that their product is not being regulated to the same extent as vaping products, I just think that's a misstatement.
Well, they don't have to send in their HPHCs. They don't have to send in half of the reportings that vapor products do have to send in. We have to send in, a slew of reports, and I can actually send you over the list of what those are, because they are very extensive. And then maybe you might understand the extent of that we are regulated to, because it is highly regulated. So I think that you're misunderstanding the long-term effects of that's what they're still looking for and all of that compared to, they're not going to know long-term effects until time goes by. That's time that we can't snap our fingers and make happen. And that's why the Royal College of Physicians actually said that vaping is 95% safer in all of the components in vaping. And they left the 5% not because they found anything, but just in case they did have long-term effects.
Well, I'm not sure if there's more recent studies because I've seen some more recent stuff out there that says to the contrary of what was done in, I think, in London, England. But we can agree to disagree. Heather, thank you so much for joining us. Heather Hutton, president of the Louisiana Vaping Association. I guess in the end, you're going to have to decide for yourself. I just don't see that there's a lot of body of science out there on this. And as the number of cases are increasing for chronic lung disease, other issues, foreign substances in there on the black market, you're not necessarily sure what you're getting, when, why, or how. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.